Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
After 22 years of being a titan on Wall Street and starting his own firm, Tony Kasai is walking away to share the ugly side of being on the inside. We'll interview insiders and other titans of all types of industries, offering advice and sharing stories of adversity.
Now let's go.
This is another episode of The Insider Show.
Welcome to Cannabis Talk 101's Financial Fridays with the inside investor, Tony K. We're the world's number one source for everything cannabis.
Yo, I don't know where you're at, what you're doing, or what day of the week it is for you, but over here at the CT 101 iHeart Studios, ladies and gentlemen, it is Financial Fridays for us. I'm your host, Tony K, and I'm here to get your mind right and your money game tight. Feel free to leave me a financial question anytime at 1-800-420-1980. You can also connect with me directly on Instagram at The Insider Investor. Y'all know that my number one rule of money is that your health is your wealth. You can't be wealthy if you're not healthy. That's why I want to let you guys know about my friends over at RisingTideBenefits.com. Y'all, it is a misconception that you cannot get health insurance after January 1st. These guys have a phenomenal program. Give them a call. Check out their website. They're going to tell you one of three things. Either they can get you better insurance at a lower cost, they're going to get you more insurance at the same cost, or they're going to tell you you're in good hands. It doesn't cost anything. Give them a call. Better yet, look up their website, risingtidebenefits.com. Their phone number is 214-446-5300. Now, today on the show, ladies and gentlemen, I have a fun... See, I got all nervous whenever I get an attractive lady on the show. Not only that, but when you get a powerful boss lady who's done so much with her life already, this is a story going from incarceration to monetization. She's the CEO of Candy Couture Clothing. She's also a mindset coach at queenmentor.com. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show a real boss, Miss Sari Lopez. Welcome.
I hope that introduction was worthy of you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I'm super excited to be here.
Well, thank you. And if you guys don't know, now this gal and I was kind of stalking her socials. I'm always impressed with somebody that's got a good story, that's well-spoken, and obviously an entrepreneurial journey that is very unique. It's something that you don't hear too often. And unfortunately, people, you know, I was looking at the statistics on your website for the mentorship program, and it's like 30-40% of women who've been incarcerated go back in 3 years, 30-40% get stuck back into the system. And you are definitely a unicorn in that story, in the sense that you've done something completely different with your life now, and you're here to tell that story.
Yes, super exciting. Yes, super out of the ordinary, I guess. Yeah, I was the least likely to succeed for sure.
In the yearbook, that's where that would have had you on that page, huh?
Absolutely, yes.
And you brought your young daughter here as well, who's your stylist. She's a boss with you, and I love the story. But start me from the beginning. Where'd you go to school? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Washington State. Okay. I grew up. It's close to Vancouver, Washington.
Okay.
I was born in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
So I grew up there. I was adopted as a baby. Grew up with an adopted family, a Caucasian family. So I'm kind of different, but they're amazing. They like raised me well. I was always a little different for sure. So I had a little bit, you know, I was always different. You know, I was always, I guess, the I never felt like I really fit in.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I always was like in a room full of people, but never really, really felt like I fit in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you were sharing with me off air that you actually didn't even know your heritage until the 24andMe's or the DNA test came out, right?
Correct.
And
so yeah. That's... Like, yeah. Back then they did like just closed adoptions.
Yeah.
So it was like super secretive. You get like a piece, like a card, like an index card
yeah.
with your info on it, which is nothing. So you really don't know. It's a guessing wow. game. So like for years I was guessing, and now I'm 49. So I was guessing for years up until I guess it was about 5 years ago. I had the DNA testing done.
Okay.
Didn't realize how accurate it is.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So
up until then you're like, okay, fuck it, I'm Mexican.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like people were saying I was, you know, Middle Eastern,
yeah. My bet. Yeah,
yeah, or that. Even Asian. Mm-hmm. Like all types, everybody would guess.
Yeah.
So it really
and
really,
you didn't even know until
I had
this.
No clue.
How long ago was it that you finally found out?
I think it was like about five years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the DNA test definitely worked. I actually found my my real mother. I talked to her on the phone. Was, you know, it was different. She was very young when she gave me up. So, but I was very grateful that my parents had adopted me, you know?
So they were good. It was a good story in terms of they were a healthy environment growing up, would you say?
Yeah. I was just very different. I was okay. like the black sheep for
okay.
sure. Like the bad seed of the family.
Yeah.
I was always in trouble. Yeah, I was always different. My parents were very, very average, middle class, you know, Americans, hardworking, my mom was educated, you know, she's a nurse, worked at the hospital. My dad worked in like a mill up in Washington. I have a lot of like mills, like paper mill.
Yeah.
So I just was raised, in a decent home. I just never fit in and I never wanted to listen.
Understood.
So I was very rebellious.
Yep.
You know?
You know, I have a saying that the windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror for a reason, and that you got to look forward than in the past.
Absolutely.
And so I rarely like to talk about people's past, especially when it comes from stories of incarceration or abuse or anything like that. But I think the audience, and I think your audience more specifically, you know, they value and respect vulnerability. And so I'd love to hear how you ended up, you know, on the bad side, or how did you end up incarcerated? What was the story behind that, and how long did that last for?
Well, I mean, I just as a young teenager, I started, you know, hanging out with the wrong crowd. I felt like that's where I fit in more, you know, for sure. And I just went downhill from there, you know, like, so I ended up, you know, I was notorious for stealing cars, eluding the police. Gun theft. I had like 9 felonies as a juvenile before I was 18.
Shut the front door. Yeah. 9 felonies before you even hit 18.
Well, actually, I was in juvenile prison. I still don't know what it's called, like institution.
Yeah.
It's institution,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So, like, I was locked up in Seattle twice, like, kind of back to back. I was always doing crazy shit. Like, I would run away. I would steal cars and go to Dallas, Texas. I didn't like do things little. Like I'd always do them extra. I'm always extra with
yeah.
everything I do.
Yeah.
So like I would do, I got arrested on a military base. That was one time when I had it, you know, they came and got me, shackled me up. My probation officer came and flew me back to Washington. I got locked up again in Seattle, you know? And you know, when you're locked up, you just meet more people like you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, unless you make different decisions, right? Like
they
you're surrounded by criminals.
By criminals. In that environment. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you like, you just find ways of being more, you know, if you don't look for the right things, you're going to be, it's easy to be bad. Right.
Yeah.
So like, I just kept meeting all the people that, you know, were like me, sometimes a little bit worse, you know? And so like, I kept that habit. So I, 9 juvenile felonies. And then my 18th birthday, I got released from juvenile. You know, they couldn't, because back then they didn't really charge you as an adult unless you were like, it was like murder or attempted murder or something major. You know, nowadays I think that they don't play.
Yeah, they keep you in there. They want that the systemized institutionalized person, because it's money for them.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. So then when I after, you know, I was 18, I got out shortly after. I got pregnant with my first daughter, who's now 30. And I still wasn't changed, you know, still running around with the same people, you know, people gang related, things that were like, I didn't have it in me to really want to make a difference, to want to change, you know? So, shortly after my daughter turned like 6 months, I ended up back in jail for car theft. I was, and eluding the police again.
Wow.
So still doing the same stupid things. Right. But, and still hadn't obviously learned my lesson, you know? So then my parents were at home helping me take care of my daughter. You know, I was struggling to really grow up and, you know, and mature. And obviously, I didn't want to get my shit together. I wasn't ready.
Right.
You know, and then I maybe a couple after I got out of jail that time. I was a little bit, it was different because, you know, I knew like, okay, I wanted to be, I don't even know if I wanted to be actually like, I think it was too young to be a mom. So yeah. I give it up to moms who were like 14, 15, because being a mom at 18, 19, I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't personally ready. I think it's a lot for you know, somebody that age, you know? So I got pregnant with my, my son, like when I was about 22, almost 23. So, but my son ended up having like, when I was pregnant with him, they found that he had like a genetic heart, like a congenital heart defect. So that kind of changed everything. But when I was pregnant with him in the beginning, I actually caught charges too. So like, it still wasn't listing. So someone had jumped it was my first husband at the time. His sister, a guy had beat her up. So we ended up, him and my ex-husband and I, we ended up going and taking care of him in his house. So we ended up getting charges and all these things. And like, I got charged with like second degree assault with a deadly weapon. And so, but as I was going through my pregnancy, finding out that my son, you know, they told me to abort him. I couldn't, you know, I was like, you know what? I can't, like, what happens? What if, you know, like, and he didn't have anything else genetically wrong with him. So it's just like the congenital heart defect. So I did mature through that process for sure. Like I totally was, you know, like I changed. I wasn't in the streets. I wasn't doing, you know, I really was.
That was the thing that you can attribute.
Yeah.
That caused you to finally say, you know, well, I'm done with this life. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Cause that was like finding out that my son had a congenital heart defect and that it was a severe congenital heart defect that he might not live was, you know, heartbreaking. It's like, so one of the days it was the most life changing for me,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so like, I went through a lot with my pregnancy with that. So I was, you know, I had really to take care of myself, go to a lot of doctor's appointments because like I chose to keep him. And thank God those court things, like I ended up just doing like 6 months on house arrest. So like the court felt compassion for me because of all the medical issues, you know, that was grace for sure.
Yeah.
Grace, you know, it all worked out. So, but you know, after I had him, you know, you know, he had open heart surgery and at like 3 months, he was a baby. And my only focus was on him and taking care of him. And then my daughter at the time, you know, and so I was different. And it was until he was like 2.5 years old, myself and his dad, we split up. So he was just never really supportive. He was never around. I would be with taking care of him night and day and he would be in the streets, you know?
So he stayed in the game. He still was kind of running with same crowd.
And
you were looking to level up and all of a sudden you realized that, hey, this ain't going to work.
Yeah. So I ended up leaving him. I'm like, the last time he had 3 open heart surgeries and the third surgery, he didn't show up. So I was like, you know what? It's time to leave. You know, it's time to, well, he needed to leave. I kicked him out. He needed to leave. It was my house. Right.
Right.
So so that was, you know, and after that, you know, when you break up with somebody and I feel like back then, it's like, you know, you're young and you're kind of like you get lost in somebody and, you know, and so I started being kind of wild. I still had the same friends, but I wasn't doing the same shit,
right,
you know?
Right.
And so then I met my second husband and I didn't know he was going to be my husband at the time. And he actually, you know, he was in the selling drugs and things like that. So I got wrapped up in that lifestyle and ended up in prison. So, and here I have 2 children, one severely handicapped. And at the time when I think my son was about 5, I want to say 4 or 5 when I was actually locked up. So I'm getting locked up for like, they charged with trafficking drugs and possession of drugs and heroin at the time. And it was crazy because that was not something I was really used to. Like, you know, that wasn't my world. You know, I didn't really fuck with that, you know?
Yeah.
So, but that... But that lifestyle.
So that lockup was another 3 to 4 years now.
Yes.
Now you got your handicapped son, you have your daughter.
Yes.
And now
my mom and dad are taking care of them. Yeah.
And you're sitting in prison now. Are you thinking like, what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah.
Because you started to change, right?
Yes.
You let go of that.
Yes.
You dumped the first dude that was basically not even going to be a father.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
And now you find yourself tied up in this situation again.
Absolutely. And I'm thinking, well, I don't want to be with this guy either. This guy, you know, like
right.
I didn't have any kids with him at the time. You know, I didn't have any children. So I didn't really plan on being with him. I was really focused at that moment. Like from the minute I got locked up in a county to my whole time, like I really, really worked on myself, you know, like I spent a lot of time reflecting. Like I didn't get involved in a lot of the mix, like in prison, you know, I stayed like, I tried to do my best. I needed to get home to my kids, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it was, that was life changing for me. I was like, man, I really need to get my shit together. Yeah. Like, this is not life.
Right.
This isn't
right.
life. You know, and I knew better, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wanted something more, you know? I wasn't sure what that was, but I wanted more, you know? Yeah. So I ended up doing, with work release, I ended up doing about 4 years. And then with my, in work release, I got pregnant with my daughter, who's now almost 19.
Wow.
So with the guy I got busted selling drugs with. So, and he ended up being my husband for over 20 years.
Holy hell.
So, yeah. So it all like crazy how hindsight, when you look back at everything and how things work out, you know?
Yeah.
But I get pregnant with her. I have to hide the pregnancy because I'm not sure if they're going to send me back to prison. Because, you know, it's kind of like a work, kind of like a, I think it's like a halfway house here, right? In California.
Right.
Like a situation where you have to, you know, you work, do you go back to the, to the facility, and you have to like, you know, so I wasn't sure what was going to happen. So I hid my pregnancy until I was almost 8 months.
So sleeping with your drug dealer husband wasn't part of the work release.
No, pretty sure no. And then, you know, I was nervous because there's a lot of women who have babies in prison.
Right.
There's like facilities where they keep their kids until they're like two, you know? And I'm like, I signed a plea that was like, if I did like drug and alcohol treatment and I, you know, this time is over your head. So like I had a lot of time sitting over my head still. So, like, if I went back, the question was...
How much more time?
Exactly. 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 So, I was like, well, I'd be sitting in another 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, it all worked out, crazy enough. So, like, I get out of prison, and I really just... I start working hard. I'm on parole, you know, for several years. So, I had to do the time that I was supposed to do on prison.
Right.
Parole.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So, but, like, really strict parole where you're, like, drug testing. You know, you're checking in 4 times. They're coming to my work. You know, they're... You know what? I did it, you know?
Now, you guys, if you're listening to this, I'm going to tell you right now, this story started like this. And when we come back from break, you're going to hear how this gal turned this story into a multi-million dollar company when we come back on Financial Fridays here on iHeartRadio.
We'll be right back with the Financial Friday 5 on Cannabis Talk 101's Financial Fridays with the insider investor, Tony Kaye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101's Financial Fridays with the insider investor, Tony Kaye. It's now time for the Financial Friday 5.
Have you ever had the misfortune of needing an attorney? Give my man a call, Freddie Sage. This dude's been in business for over 20 years. He's got experience in criminal defense, cannabis law, entertainment law, from low-level misdemeanors to high-level felonies. My man, Freddie Sage, has you covered, ladies and gentlemen. Give him a call, 310-877-5033. Again, 310-877-5033. Or check out his website, The Fox Firm. That's the 2 X's, thefoxfirm.com. We are now back here with Miss Candy Couture Clothing, Misati Lopez. And we just shared her story of years of lockup, years of drugs, years of making bad decisions. And obviously, Financial Fridays is always talking about the entrepreneur that can be in anybody. And if this gal can turn her life around, and man, I was when I discovered you, sorry, on Instagram, one of the clips that caught my attention was, you know, you just hit your 2 million. What's the millions that you hit last year?
2.4 million
in sales. You just shipped your 200,000th item, I think, recently or something.
It was 100,000, but it was only since that was just like within 2.5 years. So it's been way over that for sure. I don't even know the number. We'd have to add it up.
So like I said, I appreciate you sharing the story about the past. And that's the last time I'm going to bring that up because I'm more excited about your future. I'm excited about what you got going on. You got the kids working for you. You're inspiring a generation of other people. You've developed a mentorship program for people coming out. You've mentioned to me that people that are incarcerated are telling you, hey, you're giving me hope. You're giving me a dream that I can follow. If you can do it, I can too. So tell me about you. You're now out. You're out. You've decided you're never going back in. What started the entrepreneur journey and walk me through that?
Well, I moved to California. That's the biggest thing.
Okay.
Got out of Washington.
You got out of the circle that you knew and the bad decisions
Absolutely.
That were being made around you.
Well, with my son. So one thing I didn't touch on is my son was in an accident at the hospital, which is why he's severely disabled. So at after he had his first open heart surgery, he went into cardiac arrest and it was a big thing with the hospital. So we ended up filing a huge lawsuit. It was a landmark case. My son's case.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It changed like laws. So in Oregon State. So kind of it was like a long haul.
His handicap got worse because of malpractice at the hospital.
Yes. He actually suffered an anoxic brain injury and was like actually. And they were doing CPR on him for over an hour. They were going to pronounce him dead. He's actually a miracle.
Man, he literally a double miracle right there.
Yeah, he's like this. He doesn't like he has a will to live like crazy. So he's taught me so much, you know. So like all through this, I'm like learning like, man, why am I complaining about life? Why am I complaining? I really look at him like I'm complaining about some stupid shit. And he's over here smiling and he's like, he'll be intubated like with a tube and like in the hospital in ICU and he's happy. You know, he has the will to live and he's happy with other and he's not like a vegetable. He's very smart. He just his body is, you know, doesn't cooperate with him. It's the brain.
Yeah.
You know, but like I learned so much and I feel like that's really what gave me the push just to continue on in life. Like, stop complaining, you know, like really like get it together, get your mind right. You know, if this boy can be in this situation and be happy, why am I miserable?
Yeah.
You know,
So you moved the family to California.
I moved to California because it was better for him for health. So once the lawsuit was final, we moved down here and like, I really couldn't move outside. I couldn't work outside of the home because of his situation.
You were the primary caregiver at this point.
Yes. Uh-huh. So like, and they kind of make you like, I had my own catering business in Washington and they make you I felt like I was kind of forced to be the at-home caregiver at this point. And I wasn't used to being an at-home mom. I actually like to be busy, like to work, you know, like to, you know, be active. And so like so I did that for like 8 years. I was just at home with him. But during the 8 years, I felt like, you know, kind of trapped, like I needed something to be independent and to do, you know? So I started doing, my daughter was a dancer. So my daughter, who's now almost 19, she was into dance. So she would do like competitive dance. So I started getting into that industry, you know, and I've always loved to be creative and loved to like design things. And I would, you know, anything fashion, anything that's in interior design, things like that. I always have had a passion for, but just I never was really good at going to school.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So like that wasn't an option. So I was like, well, maybe I'll start my own company. So I took my daughter's her clothing from dance and we unsewed it and we like made a pattern with my nanny. I made a pattern, like a paper pattern. And like in my room, I was doing all these things and we got fabric and I found a seamstress like on the side just to kind of start this fun thing. I thought I would sell like things at the studio, you know, make little dance wear for little girls. Cute stuff to sell at the studio. Like, you know, I knew so many in Southern California that wouldn't have money, you know, and there's so many dancers. It was a big thing. It was up and coming. Now it's even bigger.
So it's literally like almost a hobby starts becoming a business at this point.
Yes.
Like did you envision it would be as big as it's gotten
now?
This was just like, hey, I'm going to make a few bucks.
Yes.
Put a few things up for sale, et cetera.
Yeah. Yes. I thought I was going to do it like at the studios.
Right.
You know? There's
so many
studios like in Orange County, like in, you know, Riverside. There's so many studios. Like I was like, I'm going to go sell it. Cause I would like pay like, for little tiny shorts for my daughter, I'd pay like $90 for the short. And I'm like, this fabric's like, I don't know, $6 a yard. You know, I'm like, someone's making money, right? So like I started and, you know, it just blew up. I started sending things to people on, and this is before I even knew what I was doing. So I did not even know, right, like I didn't go right. to fashion school. Right. I didn't know how, what.
So you're literally self-taught. It's yes. an industry that you had no clue about.
No clue. And nobody in the garment industry is really friendly. You yeah. know what I mean? They're like very cutthroat.
Yeah.
So if you're not paying them, you don't know, they look at you like you're stupid and you keep it pushing. Like they yeah. don't. So like I went through a lot, like trying to hire people.
Trial and error.
Yeah.
Just the life
production
of an
managers. Yeah. I put up with so many pukey men, like trying to, you know yeah. what I mean? Oh, yeah. Like, but you know what? I made it work and I paid attention. I paid attention to everything. So every time someone told me something or an avenue or somebody, a reference, I would write it down mentally for sure. And I would, and that's how I just started to grow. And I, you know, slowly I did it the backwards way for sure.
Yeah.
But I really started my company with $500.
Oh, wow.
$500. I didn't have a loan. I didn't have good credit. I didn't have someone to give me money in my family. I didn't inherit anything. It wasn't. And my son's lawsuit, by the way, didn't like my son in the state of Oregon. You don't get any pain and suffering. So there was no
punitive damages, no multiple.
No.
So even though it was a landmark case,
yes.
it changed things for other kids that
Absolutely.
Are going through what he did.
Absolutely.
But this wasn't like you had a $5 million check like no. you would have in California.
Exactly.
Got
or
it.
Like Washington State,
Got
where
it.
I actually
Got
was
it.
Residing.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
As you said that, I was wondering, okay, is that how she bankrolled the
That's
company?
That's how I think a lot of people assume.
But yeah, like yeah. especially when he said, and I didn't really know how to ask you without putting you on the spot, but so you really bootstrapped this company
Absolutely.
And you invested in yourself.
Well, they paid me to stay home yeah. and take care of him.
Yeah,
they paid
right.
me a wage. It was a decent wage, but in California, I mean,
not enough
on.
To start a business
no.
and scale and
no.
do all the things you wanted
Absolutely
to do.
Absolutely not. So like, it was like, you know, I was like, okay, well, and I didn't want to live off that forever. Like just them paying me and then be at their beck and call. You know what I mean? I'm at home just making the same wage all the time. That's just
right.
not in me.
Right.
You know, I've always been very motivated, very active, very, I'm not lazy for sure
yeah.
at all. So like, it just took like, I just was started, you know, obviously it would have been a lot quicker, a lot less, but you know, if you have money up front to pay yeah. for a mentor, yeah. for, yeah. you know, for training, you know, some sort of schooling, some sort of, you know, master classes, you know
yeah.
what I mean? To
yeah.
know what to do, step A, B, and C, I would have saved a lot of money, lots of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
You know, while we're on the subject of money, I'm going to put you through the Financial Friday Five. This is something we do with every guest.
Okay.
And I can't wait to hear your answers. There's five questions I'm going to ask you. Just tell me off the top of your head the first thing that comes in. Okay. So the first question is, what was the best investment that you've ever made?
Well, Candy Couture.
There it is. So essentially
yes.
you invested in yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I
yeah.
love that. I love that answer. And you know, what's amazing is that, you know, being a financial show, and I do end up with a lot of entrepreneurs, and I will say at least 8 out of 10 say the same thing, either invested in myself, invest into mentorship,
yes.
or invest into my own business.
Absolutely.
Right? It's very rarely, oh, this stock or that business
yeah,
idea.
Yeah.
It's always yourself. And I cannot, you know, validate that more clearly, because that's the same answer I give, just literally pouring it back into myself. I can't tell you how many hundreds of thousands of dollars I've paid to mentors and personal development. And you really do become the best version of yourself.
Well, people don't realize that they
don't.
Think it's a waste of
they
money.
They really
and they're
do.
Like really hesitant on that. But that's a huge thing. I think no matter what level, right, you're
yep.
at, like
yep.
it's important that you are always, there's always somebody at a higher level.
Yep.
So you, if you want to get to the next level, you got to have somebody to push you, to show you, to teach you.
Yep.
And the free stuff
no.
it doesn't get you very far.
No, it really doesn't. And you do quickly realize that the people that shit on that and
yeah.
tell you that it's a waste of money, they're not the people that we hang out with no more.
Yeah.
Like literally in 5 minutes,
yeah.
you and I were comparing mentors and you said, you know, I have a mentor for this and I have a mentor for that. And
yes.
that's when I know I'm rocking with the right people, because
yeah.
you recognize that literally
yes.
every one of us has, you know, mentors higher than us.
Absolutely.
Because I think it's Andy Frisella that talks about keeping a thermometer or temperature. If everybody around you 70 and you want to try to go higher, you got to change the thermostat of the circles that
Absolutely.
You're hanging out with. You hang out with 5 fat people, you're going to be the 6 fat.
Absolutely.
5 alcoholics, you're the 6th one. But 5 successful people, you're going to be the 6th successful person.
Absolutely.
Sorry, the second question for the Financial Friday Five is, what is the worst investment? Now, this could be a business or a person that you've ever made. What is the worst investment that you've ever made into a business or a person?
Oh, I had the worst investment. I was going to say one of my first husbands, but that won't work.
Because
I have amazing children. I have amazing children
right.
out of that. So
you
I can't
got good
say that.
Dividends off that.
But I had I opened a restaurant and bar in Mexico. I used to live, I actually still have a house in Mexico because I manufacture over there too. And it's La Chingona. And that was like, I put so much money into a
Is
place.
Is it like TJ or Cabo?
It's like
or?
Rosarito.
Okay.
So like, and it was like, I put way too much money.
Just the money pit.
And then it's like yeah. restaurant, bar, like bar maybe, but restaurant, no.
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 No. That was my worst.
I've had restaurants before in Washington. I had catering business. No. There's too much overhead in there.
Especially now, I feel for all the restaurateurs. You know, you got $20 minimum wage here in California.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
You're going to see everything shutting down. That's why your Big Mac's going to be like 20 bucks pretty soon.
That's crazy. Yeah, I saw that too.
Question number three on the Financial Friday Five here with Sari Lopez is, what is the best present you ever bought yourself?
Oh, my gosh. I bought myself a lot of presents. I don't know. I always treat myself.
Your shoe game is pretty strong.
I know. I like to buy myself. You know what the thing is even being married for like 20 something years. He was cheap. I made the money. So like, and he worked to help. He did help me. But like, I worked harder. Like I was working in my sleep. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I always bought myself my own Christmas present. So I bought my diamond rings. I don't know. Yeah. But you know what? I love to buy for my children.
I got you.
Yeah, but I love bags. I love that, like several things.
Yeah, you're flossy. I can see you even got the diamond teeth growing on.
I like nice things but you know what the thing is I didn't always buy my nice things for myself. So I waited. I always felt like I had the money, especially after Black Friday. You know, you make a good amount of money, but walking to a store, I couldn't justify buying like a nice like Gucci bag or like a Chanel bag for a long time. And then I got to a point where it's like, yeah, now I'm okay
now
to
I
buy it.
It. Yeah.
So like,
I think
that's
the kids.
Yeah. A lot of people like buy things and that's where they go wrong with business, right? They make money and then all of a sudden they spend it. Yep. You got to flip your money back into your company, you know? You have to sacrifice in the beginning in order to grow your company. You know what I mean? Yep. So like, I feel like that's super important.
Question number four in the Financial Friday Five is, what is the best present you've bought someone else?
I buy my kids stuff all the time. Yes.
What's your favorite over there? What's the best present she ever bought you? You got your daughter here. So what's the best present she ever bought you? A Gucci bag? Okay. All
right. I just gave her a quinceañera. She had her quinceañera. I just threw a huge party for her. I had no help. I know like in the Latin culture, they have like the
families and the abuelita and everything. Yeah,
where?
You ain't got
me,
all that. Yeah.
Me. And then we put it together in 6 weeks. She told me last minute she wanted to have one.
That's
and I'm
cute.
Like, girl, I've been asking you for 3 years.
How many people did you have at it?
About 150.
No shit. This was no small party.
No, 250, yeah.
250 people?
But we did it all
You have
out.
That many friends?
It was like a wedding. It was like a wedding.
It was all her friends. I love that. It became her party, huh?
Yeah, but I can't do anything.
That's the best present she bought herself.
And I can't do anything like minor, like little. You know,
yeah.
It's got to be.
If you do it, you go big.
Yeah,
I got you.
Absolutely. So
well,
that was like
it was
special.
A fun party.
I love to, especially because my kids now they're growing up. You know, but I love to like when my other daughter turned 16, she got a new car. You know, like I like to be able to treat them because they help me.
They've supported you.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Can tell. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when you sat down, she was taking care of your hair. Yeah. She was making sure you're okay.
That's great. They've always been my team for sure. Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. Last question on the Financial Friday Five, sorry, is if you could buy one thing, money is not an object, what would that be?
A private jet.
Ooh, all right. Yeah. I like that.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes, a private jet. Not one that you have to share either.
Not like a JSX, but like your own with your
the
name
walk
on
up,
it.
Get on that. Yeah.
Put on KK.
Absolutely. A private jet.
I like
sure.
that. Well, those are great answers. You know, when we come back, I want to hear a little bit more about the mentorship program. You know, I was walking you through our offices here with the Master Mentors, the Master Mentor Live program. It's something I'm really proud of that we've created here. And that's one of the things that attracted me to your story was you giving back. And I heard you say, you know, when we were in pre-production, just you wanting to give back. So when we come back, I want to hear the story. We'll be right back here, Financial Fridays on CT101 iHeartRadio.
We'll be right back with more Financial Fridays with the Inside Investor, Tony Kaye. Make sure you follow Tony at The Insider Investor.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101's Financial Fridays with the Inside Investor, Tony K. Make sure you like, follow, and subscribe to the show now.
Master Mentors Live is coming to a city near you. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me talk about it for 6 months now. I'm telling you, I just got back from Dallas with a big group of students we had out there. I cannot be more proud of this program. These guys are going to be the future cannabispreneurs of America. Whether cannabis is legal in your state, whether you want to touch the plant, sell the plant, have a media company like we do here, start your own magazine, start your own podcast, white label CBD, you name it. This is a multi-billion dollar industry. Cash in on the modern day green rush. Master Mentors Live is coming to a city near you. Check out the website, sign up. It's a free 90-minute educational workshop you don't want to miss out. We are now here with a lady who's become who she is because of mentors. And that is not a plug just for myself, but this is something you can tap into with her. You've already got students with you. I know mentorship has been big in your life. Going back to your past, do you feel like, you know, you had good parents, you had good adoptive parents, they were supportive, they weren't bad people, and yet somehow you got caught up in the wrong mix? Do you feel like if you'd had mentors around you at an earlier age, the way your daughter now has with you, that your life would have started out different?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I think that we're in a new era. You know what I mean? So like, I feel like people are now open to change. You know, when I was growing up, it was different. You know, people didn't really seek. If you sought counseling, you were weird. You're crazy. You're sick, right?
Yeah.
So I think that it's so great how everybody's evolving, like to want to change. We want to be different. There's a whole wave of people who are just moving with wanting to be, you know, better themselves, self-care, self-love, you know? So I think it's a great thing. So that's what I try to be to my children. You know what I mean? They're not just like a friend, but like really lead them in the right way to how to be a strong woman, you know?
And I love what you're doing too about giving back, in the sense of, you know, there's so many people, and we were talking about, I'm not going to name drop him because he's a douche, but these guys that flush the lifestyle, right? The watches, the jets, the cars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, when their story is coming out there, it's just not authentic. There's no vulnerability about it. Look what I got. Look what I got. And something about your story is that you're vulnerable. You're like, listen, you know, I've gone through shit. I've been in the worst spots. I've had dark holes. I've had demons. And I made it out. And I think that's why people are tapping into you. I know that when I started my program, it was the same thing. I was like, look, listen, guys, I fucked up. You know, this is what happened with my life. I trusted the wrong guy. I lost everything, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that vulnerability is what's lacking. And there's a lot of gurus out there. There's a lot of mentors. There's a lot of wannabe influencers. But I think that you being authentic to yourself is really, really comes across. So I thank you for it. But I think, you know, the people that you're helping probably thank you even more.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it was, you know, like when my children were younger, I didn't really want to, you know what I mean? I want to like really put all this out there.
Right.
But now that they're older, I'm like, you know what? They're like, you should just tell your story, because I do have crazy stories. Like I have, you know what? The thing is with people, they think the consistency is like this, right? Like consistency is like this.
She's nodding her head. Mom's got crazy stories.
Yeah, I got crazy stories. But you know what the thing is? I feel like when you are open, you're an open book with people, people do end up respecting you, you know, because they can relate. You know, people are at home, they're miserable, or maybe they were involved in like domestic violence or like in bad relationships, or maybe they made really bad mistakes. We all fuck up, right? We all make mistakes, but it's how you keep it pushing and pick yourself back up.
You know, your daughter's got me curious now. Do you have a quick, craziest story that you can tell me that would just blow my mind?
Which one, my ass? Which one? Oh.
Hey, listen.
Oh my gosh, I ran away when I was okay, so I ran away with somebody I met from the juvenile institution the first time after I got out, right? We get out, we steal a car from juvie,
you get out, yeah. You meet him in there, and then you steal the car?
No, we get out, and then like the right when we get out, like 2 days later, she like lived in like Seattle, and I'm like, okay, let's meet. So like I knew I wouldn't pick her up. I stole a car. We head to California with nothing. Like I always did this shit, right? Just ask people for money. Like we were crazier, end up robbing people, doing stupid shit, right? And so like we ended up in Oakland with like some Jamaican guys. Like this is weird. Like that's why I'm glad my kids like listen to me now. Yeah. Like I'm like 15 and like they're like, I didn't realize they're part of like a reggae at the time. Like I didn't have any clue. They're like, they had gold guns and they're like, they took care of us. We're like, I lived.
It was like a reggae gang, basically.
Yeah, for like several months.
Wow.
And then tell my friend. And then when my friend got bored, she's like, let's leave. So we left, you know, and life at home wasn't bad. I just was like, now I'm on the run because I'm on parole. You know what I mean?
Right.
So my kids are like, what are you doing? Like, I would be at clubs. I was like, you know, 14, 15 years old.
You lived a fast life at an early age.
Yeah, absolutely. But thank God that like nothing happened. Like I never was, you know, like, you know what I mean? Because there's so many situations I hear about now and I'm like, man, I'm lucky.
Yeah.
I was definitely being watched over for sure. Like,
absolutely.
You know, it was all meant to be because I feel like when you look at life, you know, in retrospect, right? Like it's crazy how you're always being prepared for things and then you look back and it's how you see how everything is so perfectly together. And even if you do the wrong things and you're on the wrong path, right?
You know, you've been super vulnerable. I'll share something with you real quick for me. And you said it and it kind of triggered a memory. You know, when you say that I've been watched over, I always tell these guys like, hey man, I feel like I have an army of guardian angels that's been watching over me. And now I owe it to them to not fuck up, to make sure that I do what I need to do to give back to everybody that's helped me and supported me. But when I was at my darkest, I didn't have the balls to kill myself, but I had a Maserati that was about to get foreclosed on. And I owed millions of dollars to all these poor people. And I was, you know, I had five different attorneys, one for the feds, one for the SEC. And nothing ever happened to me, but it was this one dude. I trusted the wrong guy, essentially, right? And long story longer, basically, I would get in that Maserati. I'd leave the casino. I'd try to spend every last dollar. I'd drive as fast as I could. Shame on me that I didn't realize I could be killing somebody else.
Right.
I'd get annihilated. Just drink a bottle of tequila. I'd get pulled over by the cops, and I'm like, oh, I'd never been arrested, never had a DUI. Knock on wood. And the cop, I'm like, oh, finally, this is gonna be over. You know, I didn't crash, but at least I'll go to jail or something, like punish me. You know.
Right.
And cop would pull me over. Where you come from? Commerce Casino. Did you win? I had 10,000 there. I'm like, yeah, you know, what game you play? Now he's like more crunk on my story.
Right.
I'm like, bro, I can smell the tequila on my own breath.
Hello.
You know, he's like, what, man, this is a nice car. When'd you get it? It's the Quattroport. I'm like, yeah. All right, man. Well, just you're going like 110. What's the hurry? I'm like, oh, there's some hoodie guys, you know, looking at me with the money. And he's like, all right, we'll just drive safer. I'm like, fuck, I can't even, you know what I'm saying? But talk about this army of guardian angels.
Yeah.
You know, not only did I not hurt anybody else or hurt myself, but never ended up with the DUI. But so I think about those moments and I think about like, definitely like I've had an army of people looking out for me. And it sounds like you and I have shared that. And the irony is there's this little city, I'm not going to name it, in South Orange County. And we both have grown up there. That's where you live. That's where my parents still are. So I think there's been some synergies that brought us here today. So I thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Before
so
we leave, is there anything that I can help you promote? Connor's got your website pulled up. What's that? Is it candycouture.com?
Candycouture.com is the dancewear, yes.
And how do you spell that?
It's KANDIKOUTURE.
Excellent. No, I was looking on there, and it's a very well put together website.
My daughter takes
she's
care
the one that
of
does
like
it?
Yeah, she has all of website design. And
y'all,
everything.
Last year she did $2.5 million in sales. That is no joke. I don't think you ever sling that much dope.
No,
right?
Nor would like, it be worth it.
You're a way better entrepreneur than you
were
a drug dealer.
I was horrible being a drug dealer.
I was a drug dealer for about a week, and I was just
I give it away.
I was just going to say.
I'm too nice. I feel bad for people. I'm sick. Okay.
Oh, you're cute. Here's an ounce.
Yeah, exactly. That was me too. Wasn't good at it.
And then tell them about the mentorship website that you have in that program real quick.
It's a Queen Mentor. And, you know, I have several programs. Right now, I just have three up. So one of the programs is basically to start your own brand from start to finish. So like literally we help you grade, plot your first item. You know, we do samples, we give lots of we give tons of, you know, references for contractors, for, you know, we start up everything. So from start to finish, we'll
This well, is in the clothing industry or
in the,
any,
in the clothing industry. Okay, so many people come to me and they want to know how, but once you tell them how, they're like, okay, you know what I mean? It does take, it's a time process, but it's so worth it. I mean, the garment industry, you can make a lot of money.
You guys, mentorship, you know, people look at it as you're spending money, but you're actually compressing time. And when I say that, where it took us, you know, 10, 20 years to figure some shit out, you can compress time by circling yourself with people that have already gone through it, that have learned the headaches.
Yes.
You know, are you going to hire a social media manager? Well, how does the ad management work with shipping, you know, logistics? I mean, you name it down the line. We've lost so much money that we can teach you how to save money. And that's what mentorship is.
The thing is that I've worked with so many people in the industry in the last 10 years that have totally screwed me over.
Yeah.
So many people who have promised me, even like hiring them like through Upwork, through other like, you know, platforms, and they tell you, they can promise you the sun and the stars. At the end of the day, they don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They use you as, oh yeah, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to learn on the way, you know, and those are the things that are so frustrating, and we still kind of battle it sometimes. So it's really important to build a team of people. If you want to have a successful company, you have to know what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Otherwise you're going to, like, I've wasted hundreds of thousands of dollars too. So like, if I had known hindsight, you know, it's, you know, what I know now, I could have been so much farther.
And by the way, shout out to your domain name. Queen Mentor is a name. I imagine that's going to be a very valuable asset to you. Anything else you want to add, or any other specials or things that we can do to support you?
No, I think I'm just super excited to be here. I love your platform. How,
Thank you.
You're all amazing. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Had a great time.
Our house is your house. Come back anytime. Can't wait to have you on the show when you hit 5 million in sales.
Absolutely.
We're gonna celebrate. Well, you guys, thank you so much for listening today. I want to thank to the staff as well, man. You know, this is takes an army to make the show. Usually I go down a long list, but I want to give a special shout out to my production team here. I got Daniel in his colorful clothing. He just got back from the red light district where he discovered what a blue light is. And I got Connor over there, our sound engineer, who, you know, best wishes to your girlfriend. You've always been dedicated to the show, and then, you know, hope she's getting well soon from her car accident. But I want to tell you boys how much I appreciate you and how invaluable you are to me as friends and as a team out here. So I want to appreciate you guys from the bottom of my heart there. And thank you guys for listening to Financial Fridays here on iHeartRadio CT101. I'm Tony Caden. You can always find me on Instagram at Insider Investor. Remember, keep that wallet tight. Keep your mind right. I'm going to see you next Friday on Financial Fridays. We out. Boom.
Thank you for listening to Financial Fridays with the Insider Investor, Tony K, on Cannabis Talk 101, the world's number one source for everything cannabis.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.